That is so powerful. Beautiful. Thank you. He is mighty to save. Pentecost is a day that celebrates his power in our lives to share the love, to experience the love that God has for each of us. Well, we continue in our series on the parables of Jesus. This morning with Matthew 20. Verses 1 through 16. Now, today's parable is unique to Matthew. We don't find it in any of the other Gospels. And it is in a part of Matthew where Jesus is talking about the formation of a new community, a Christian community, and how it deals with the problems of life. So, in 19, it talks about place and process for divorce, for remarriage, for celibacy, for raising children, and for family life, and to how to be successful as a person in this world. And then Matthew reports the end of 19, a certain vision. It's this sentence that will open chapter 20. The kingdom of heaven is like. A grand reversal is what it's like. It says in verse 30 of 19, but many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. I wonder what his hearers first thought when they heard him say that. What do you mean? The last or first? First shall be last? That's an upside down world, Jesus. And then he continues with this passage. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. And when he went out, about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing in the marketplace, and he said to them, you go also into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right. So they went. When he went out again about noon, and again about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, why are you standing here idle all day? They said to him, because no one has hired us. He said to them, you go also into the vineyard. And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last, and then going to the first. When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each one of them received the usual daily wage. Now, when the first came, they thought, whoa, maybe they would receive more. But each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, the last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. But he replied to them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I gave to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous? So, the last will be first, and the first will be last. Will you pray with me? Lord God, the more I read this parable, I take different angles on it. And yet your wisdom about how we deal with one another, about our expectations, about the way we put ourselves in the center of life. Help us, Lord, to see your kingdom and its ways. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the first thing that hits me is how important fairness is to us. You know, we want to be treated well. And so why is it we so quickly forget that basic message that we know deep in our hearts? God is God, and we are not. God can know things we don't know. God can wisely govern things that we don't understand. There was a writer who said, why don't you change the word God for Messiah in the statement that's made in John 1:21, where where John the Baptist is confronted by the people, and they say, are you the Messiah? Well, I could ask you all, are you God? I could ask myself. In fact, maybe it's a good practice to get in front of the mirror as we start the day and say, Bill Barnes, you are not God. But the thing is, the truth is, we want that. We put ourselves as first, like these laborers. They were begrudging to a group of workers that worked only 1 hour when they had worked the whole day. Have you ever said to yourself, oh, so-and-so's not pulling his weight. She's not doing what she should be doing, and I have to shoulder all that. And the boss doesn't even recognize it. Yeah, those feelings are real with us. But the truth is, since the beginning of time, the Bible tells us that we are not in control. Adam and Eve thought they had godlike freedom. They didn't. Saul thought that he had godlike impunity. He did not. David thought that he had godlike authority over the lives and who would die and who would not. He did not. The Israelites thought they had a godlike exclusiveness. They did not. Peter thought he had a godlike loyalty. I'll stand with him. He did not. Saul of Tarsus thought he had a godlike mission to wipe out those Christians. He did not. The Romans thought they had godlike power. They did not. The Europeans thought that they had a godlike image. They did not. Americans thought they had a godlike manifest destiny. They did not. Hitler thought he had a godlike right to take over the world. He did not. I could go on and on. Medical science sometimes thinks it plays God, but it does not. You see, we have so easily put ourselves in front, like those workers who worked a full day. And we have pounded our chests and said, what about me? What about me? And that makes us envious of the love that God gives others. God cares for all people. God will not be domesticated by our wishes. God is someone who loves all and supplies all. And yes, we are loved. But we are not loved to the exclusion of the way that God loves those people that rub shoulders with us. In fact, those people that rub us the wrong way. And then there's a different take on this sermon that I saw. J. Ellsworth Callis writes about a missionary, Virginia Loschel, who recalls a time when she resented a woman who lived all her days indifferent to God. It seemed as if this woman's life was carefree. She enjoyed so many favors. She was married to a man who left her very wealthy. She enjoyed so many of the things in life, whereas Virginia Loschel was a missionary's wife, and her husband was murdered on the mission field, and she was left alone to raise three children. And then she concludes this little journal article with these words, "I felt resentful when I compared our two situations. But then I realized something. The Christian life is its own reward." You see, each one of those servants got their pay. Were they grateful? No, because they compared themselves to one another. How often do we do that? And then Callis picks up on that. He says, "It is indeed, I believe, in heaven. I believe in heaven. But if I did not, I would still opt with all my being for the Christian life. I want to have a grand reason for arising in the morning, to know that the candle is worth the burning, to see a purpose in life beyond stroking the furnace of the body so that it can continue running for another day. My Christian faith gives such a clear, pure purpose. It immerses the quantity of life in quality. I was fortunate, so magnificently fortunate, to become a Christian when I was not quite 11 years old. I was hired early in the morning, the first one into the field to work. I was there. I was blessed throughout my life with a sense of life's purpose, value, and beauty. How dare I then be bitter about those who have waited all day in the marketplace? If at the end of the journey they are blessed with an eternity as good as mine, shall I envy those who have gone through life with no clear goal, battling their way through disillusionment and newly and despair because life hasn't hired them?" You know, that struck me like a lightning bolt. We so often take for granted our Christian life. We had it all along. Why wouldn't we want others to have it too? And those who get it late in life at 70 were glad, but they missed a lot of life. You see, it kind of turns the world upside down, doesn't it? Those that are last hired are first fired, they say in business. Well, these who are last hired need more kindness because they've known fewer benefits. They've not had the Lord to love as long. It's an interesting way to look at this parable. In gratitude of what we have instead of envy of what others have. Amen?